You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with Phil Rosenthal and Mark Malkoff.
You like the way he says your name?
It's Malkoff.
Okay. Malkoff.
Yeah.
Malkoff Falcon. Yes.
The Flying Malkoffs, my favorite act on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, they were really good.
They were great.
Prolific.
Yes. Yeah. Mark has been, Phil has graciously agreed to stick around for 25 minutes. I think we have, how much time are you giving us?
I actually can't get up.
And Mark is here. Mark has done the show before. He is the host of the wonderful Carson podcast. Phil has been on that show.
So has Gilbert.
Gilbert has been on the show.
I was on the show, and last time I was on, he ends the show, and he's wrapping up his stuff. He says, I just want you to watch one thing. And he showed me a clip of Carson's monologue where he mentions me in the monologue.
So, and his jaw dropped?
He couldn't believe it. I mean, Gil's like, can I get a copy? Can we watch it again? And I was like, of course we can watch it again. And then I was able to get, Dara a clip through the Carson people who have been very, very nice. But yeah, it was one of those things where I asked you if you thought Johnny ever mentioned you, and you said you didn't think so, or you weren't sure, but you didn't think so. And,
but the context.
Yeah. The context
and
was.
This is why I hate the Jew.
Those Jews, they've been holding me down for years.
Because you were getting so much press. You were getting
I'm with you, Johnny. Yes.
You see what you've wandered into, Mark?
I'm just gonna take it all.
Nothing worse than Jews, Johnny. Nothing worse.
You know my agent's name? Goldberg.
That's a Jew.
Bombastic Bushkin was a Jew.
Yeah. You are right, sir.
He still is one.
Take your money.
He still is one.
I'm pretty sure
You know, I've not known Gilbert to be starstruck, but he was in this particular case.
With Bushkin?
No, with the fact that Carson mentioned
him. Oh, yeah. I mean, for Gilbert to actually, I think he was like, the one time he was out of character, you were out of character a little bit, but you just, I couldn't believe that you actually cared about something.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I was joking about that.
So you've heard about my parenting skills.
Yes, I have heard. Yeah, well, you're going to get better. There's always room to improve.
Yes.
I heard you interviewing Phil about his Carson
experiences. Oh, my gosh.
You talked about the one night, I think it's only one night, that Ed was bombed on air.
Yeah, that was true. That was the
Do you
one
remember
time.
This?
It was definitely a running joke.
I remember that clip. I saw that clip.
It was a running joke that he was always bombed, which wasn't true. And it was the one time where Joan Embry was going to be was a scheduled guest on that. And Johnny at one point just says, you know, you're not fooling anybody. Yep. Because Ed basically says, he's like, you know, I went to see Joan Embry. Doc did. You never saw it. And he's like, Johnny says, it's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right, Ed. Yeah. It's fine.
It's
and
be
he's
okay.
like laughing. And we always imitated this in the room. Ed.
Oh, at Raymond Ryder's room?
Yeah. Ed was like, but... don't say. And he just drag. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the end of the line.
That clip.
Don't say.
It showed an evil streak to Johnny Carson in that he was taking advantage.
He let him hang himself.
Yeah.
I would make the argument that Ed was the one that was interjecting. Carson was, if you watch it, was trying to introduce Joan Embry, and Ed kept interrupting him. and chiming in on things. And yeah, that's when Johnny just kept trying to do his intro. But I guess maybe he enjoyed that too much. I don't know.
Yeah, you could see he was enjoying it.
Yeah, there was a roast where Johnny is he's saying hi to everybody on the dais, and he says, "Ed, you big bag of shit."
There's also that ad he does for a feminine hygiene product.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what happened.
Do you know about this?
No.
What? Do you want to set it up? You can set it up.
Well, you set it up because you know it better than I do.
What Johnny would do is he would get these advertisers and he would make these internal videos on the set of The Tonight Show that only be for the company. And, you know, back then it was mostly men, so he would go very off color.
Yes.
So he was talking, what was he talking about when he was doing the tampon? Was it a tampon?
It was a feminine hygiene spray.
And then he starts riffing and saying stuff we can't say. Well, we probably could say it here.
You always say it on this show.
He said, "Cunt away."
Oh, great.
It was actually that off, I think.
Yeah, something,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he would do... There's another...
There's a recording of it.
There's another one online, but he would do... he would do it, and these people would love it. There's no YouTube. They knew that no one was ever going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple were leaked. But, yeah, that was, like, the one time where Carson...
Here we are.
...would break.
Yeah. I'm amazed Phil Rosenthal didn't know that story.
That's a good story.
But
it's floating around
now,
out there.
Now, did Jonathan Winters ever confront Johnny Carson on blatantly stealing?
Oh, very good.
We talked about this. To my knowledge, I think nobody confronted him. And I think that when we were talking or somebody that... If the guess was is that people were too nervous because they wanted to keep doing the show. I mean, Steve Allen with Karnak, he was doing a bit, which, you know, Johnny thought was an old vaudeville act. And but everyone was too, like, Jonathan Winters loved going on Carson. Near the end, he didn't do it that much, but no one confronted him, as my knowledge. Like,
Art Fearn sort of a Gleason thing too?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And Gleason went on once, but he never.
Reggie Van Gleason.
It's what's up?
Was like Reginald Van Gleason, right?
Yes. No, it was. It won 100%. And Aunt Blabby, of course. And there was one other character. Was it one of the Smothers brothers? I forget. But he was doing something. I just think that Johnny was so powerful back then. It was the only game. That no one's gonna risk not getting booked on that show.
Actually, to defend Johnny, I think he loved those bits and wanted to do them.
So they were homages.
Yeah. Like an homage. Like,
I don't think even homage didn't even enter into it. It's like we're all in show business and we're all playing.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to play too. I know that I'm the guy who's supposed to just ask the questions, but I want to play too. And that's why he would go and do. I think that's that was the spirit of it as I took it. At the same time, I'd be pissed if I was Jonathan Winters and you're doing my act.
I find it strange that, because, you know, Carson would do occasional interviews that, to my knowledge, no one ever called him out on it.
Like
just asking him, you know, you're doing these characters that have been done before. And nobody ever challenged him on it in the press because he would occasionally do these interviews, and he didn't like doing interviews. But yeah, isn't that amazing that nobody brought it up to him or no critics that I'm aware of ever.
Well, maybe behind closed doors, but I doubt it. Jonathan Winters is kind of a loose cannon.
You can
imagine him saying something.
Oh my gosh, you never know. Yeah, maybe him, but he was. Oh my gosh, was he funny on par in Carson? But he told me when I was on the phone with him. That by far Carson was his best, because somebody I was with thought it was Parr, and he's like, no, Carson 100% was the host, the best.
You finally got Doc. You've been doing the show for how long, and you finally got Doc Severinsen.
I've talked to him on the phone a bunch of times.
I heard the show. It wasn't bad.
Well, I was going to say, let me tell you. His memory is good. So I've talked to him on the phone for 4 years trying to get him to do this, and he just, for whatever reason, he's like, just email this person, and it never happened. So finally, the very wonderful Jeff Sotsing, who's Johnny's nephew, who should be a guest here. I mean, he was a producer on The Tonight Show. He's the one that told Doc. And then I'm at the gym. Okay. I see that it says Doc Severinsen on my cell phone. So I get off and I'm huffing and puffing. And he's like, Mark Malkoff. I'm like, yes, Doc, what's going on? He's like, I'm ready. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to come to Tennessee. We're going to sit down and record. He's like, no, you don't understand. We're doing it right now. And I said,
see, Dirk Diggler.
And I said, Doc, I'm at the gym. He's like, well, every good reporter has a pencil and paper. And I said, Doc, I'm not a reporter. And what I said is, Doc, I'll get on a plane. I'll come see you. He's like, no, we can't do that. He's doing better now. He's tours, but he was having some health issues at the time. And I was like, okay, we'll do it in 2 days over the phone, which I didn't. He's like, no, we're doing it right now. And I was like, okay, Doc, we'll do it. Can I have 20 minutes? He said, sure. So I sprint home, sweating. I'm interviewing Doc. Without a t-shirt, with like just sweating. I did a little research a couple years ago, and I printed it out. Luckily, I had it, and I just winged it. And he's a really nice man. I really like him. I think it was just not meant to be, but I finally did get Doc Severinsen, which is not an easy
interview. None of that came across. It came across quite naturally.
Yeah, I don't usually interview people just in like my shorts, but yeah. Things happen.
And you do. You listen to this show. You've been on the show.
I love
it. He does deep dives.
I love it.
You got Uri Geller. You got Sir Monty Rock.
Oh gosh, in Vegas, he was an interesting
character. He did 2 hours
character.
On a guy who parked Johnny's car.
I know,
you should get him.
It's fascinating.
Monty Rock
have enough career to talk for 90 minutes?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, Travolta. He was in. Was it Saturday Night Fever? Was that it? He was in.
I remember his. Yeah, I remember his hit
that.
Single.
Monty Rock was on. Well, he was like. Practically a regular on Merv Griffin.
Yeah, he
sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
He lived on Griffin and did Carson appearances. I mean, all the time. I think he did. He told me he did X amount of Carson appearances, and I kind of was like, "Are you sure?" He's like, "Well, those are reruns as well." So it was cut down in half. But yeah, he did a lot, dozens and dozens of appearances.
And you got Pete Barbeauty. I mean, you went in for the deep dives. You didn't find the potato chip lady?
You know what? She is not alive anymore. But I just found out that
excuses.
You know
Mark.
What? I found out yesterday the polka lady in the anniversary clips. The polka lady. What's her name? She's still alive. So I'm gonna try to get to her.
Fascinating.
No, she had the accordion. So
I Your always passion. Felt like, I mean, to me, Uri Geller he just struck me as a showman, like, you know, right. David Copperfield or anybody.
Yeah, it was his act.
And it was his act. And I felt like Carson just like really just went to fuck him over.
Johnny Carson, if anybody was claiming that they did something, and Kreskin was telling me this story about how during a commercial break, Orson Welles said, I'm guest hosting on Monday, and I'm gonna do a Kreskin. And Johnny said, what did you say? He's like, I'm going to do a Kreskin. And of course, this is what Kreskin told me, and I did the research, and it is true. That Monday when Johnny was off, he snuck into the studio, and nobody could tell Orson Welles to watch him, and he had a stooge in the audience, and that's how he did the trick. And Johnny, at that point, is like, he's never doing the show again, and he never did the show again.
Johnny was that pure about
magic? Oh, yeah, he was like that with
magic, because he was
James
Carson.
Magician. Talk to James Randi. I mean, anybody that would claim, in retirement, he'd watch Larry King with Sylvia Brown, any psychics. He was fascinating. He didn't believe any of them. I mean, he was just a curious, curious guy. And he'd put James Randi on as the first guest. I mean, the A-lister would go after him. And he just, anytime there was something he didn't think was authentic, he would politely challenge it. I would say when he was with Geller, he was definitely polite. Like, Carson was always polite on his best manners. He would actually ban people from the show, people that are surprising if they were not polite. I mean, that was one of the most important things. But yeah, the Geller appearance is hard to
like
watch.
Who got banned?
Okay, so a bunch of people got banned. I'm only going to mention a few people. Rex Reed did the show dozens and dozens
Rex
of times.
Rex Reed. Still around.
I see him on the Upper West Side. So what happened with him is Doris Day was on, and I watched the clip. I studied these, by the way, the last appearances when they are not allowed back. Yeah. And he takes like a minute and is just conversing with Doris Day and not acknowledging Carson. And then the camera shows Johnny, and he's like staring into the camera like, what's going on? And a lot of times Johnny looks like he's joking and he's not upset, but I study this stuff and I can tell. And he was so upset that Rex Reed never did the show again.
Wow.
Bizarre.
I remember hearing a story. It's like Charlie Callis used to be like on just about every other Carson show.
He did the show a lot. Yeah.
A lot.
And then one day the producer was talking with Carson and saying, okay, we're lining up for next week. I guess we can have Charlie Callis back. And Carson just goes, no, we've had him enough.
That was very similar to Rich Little, who did the show 80 sometimes, guest hosted and went on the show. And it was Rich Little that one day they were just like, he's done. Our mutual friend Peter LaSalle told me that it was just like, it was just so repetitious. He would always do the same. And I like Rich Little. He's been so nice.
He's been here.
He does. Basically, they said that he would do the same impressions every time he was on. It was basically the same thing. And I said to Peter, but the audience loved it. He said, yes, that they loved it, but it felt it was repetitious. And if you will notice, shortly after Rich Little was not being booked, Johnny started doing Reagan. Because that was Rich Little's thing.
Oh,
and if you look at the timing, because sure. I was talking to Peter, I was talking to Rich Little. I said, studying this to me, it looks like the timing is this, that they got rid of you. And then just right away, Johnny did the Reagan thing.
He did that Who's on First bit where he was Reagan.
I take back thing I said before about he just wants to play.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's cold.
The other person I'll mention.
That is...
Whose job was it? Obviously, Johnny didn't do the throat cutting. Whose job was it to get on the phone, or did they just ghost?
The talent coordinators, or like Peter LaSalle, who again we're friendly with, would tell me it was so hard for him sometimes to go out to restaurants because you had all these Jack Carter, all these people why am I not getting booked? All the older comics and stuff. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was definitely hard.
There's never a reason never know the reason.
There's not a reason. They went down to 60 minutes.
That's hard.
And then they Buck Henry stopped. But I will tell you this. I couldn't believe this, but it's true, and I did the research as well. He loved Carl Sagan. He was one of the guests where Johnny would take Carl Sagan out to dinner. They would be on the phone in the dressing room. Johnny was into astronomy and just really curious. And he stopped doing the show in 1986, and I always wondered why Carl Sagan decided to stop doing the show. And it wasn't. I looked at the appearance because somebody tipped me off. It was an NBC publicist. And he corrects in the middle of the interview, and Johnny's all about being polite and manners. Johnny says something and Carl Sagan interrupts him and corrects him on something. And you just see Johnny make a small joke at it. But there's something in his eyes. There's something in his eyes. And that was it. He was never on the show again. I mean, the audience would not be able to tell.
Welcome to We Hate Johnny Carson.
Yeah. I think that's why Dave Letterman would always say everyone was so nervous over there because you didn't want to be the guy. They'd hear these stories about these guys that would come in and you just never knew. And if it's something, one little thing, you were gone.
He was kind of like, I guess, Ed Sullivan used to have that.
Well, he had absolute power and he wielded it.
Yeah. But the politeness was one of his top things.
Is this true about Freddie de Cordova, that Johnny requested some time at the end of the show to talk about his son?
Yeah, that was
passed away.
Oh.
You know the story?
Yeah. You can
tell it last time.
You know it.
What happened is Rick Carson was a photographer and he died. And oh my gosh, I mean, Carson didn't do the show, and rightfully so, for a month or so. And I've heard when he walked in that first day back before the Tonight Show, Johnny people couldn't believe how they questioned whether he could do the show that night. And he went out. And at the very end, yeah, he knew it was built into the show. They did a few minutes to set up, talk about his son and passing, and thank people that have written him letters, and really emotional. And he wanted to show some of his son's artwork, photography, and that did get on. And what happened is, and Bill Zamy's another guy that has studied this too. You can see this one little look Carson off camera is where when he was setting up the whole the photography. The photography that Fred de Cordova, I've heard two versions. One, he gives it the wrap it up sign, or he gets on the phone with Bobby
speed
Quinn.
It up sign.
Or Bobby Quinn. Well,
Johnny
I will say this. Talking about his son.
Dead
I will
child.
Say this. They did not edit that show almost ever. It was done in real time, unless Della Reese got sick in the middle of everyone and collapsed on the floor when she was guest hosting, they would stop. But almost never would they stop. But something like that, I mean, once he did that, Jeff Sadzik told me it was one of the rare moments he actually saw Johnny upset. I mean, people I talked to with Carson, his assistant I talked to for 5 years, never saw
him. When you say upset, do you mean emotional?
Yes.
Or do you mean angry?
Angry.
Yeah.
And upset. And just really hurt. And the thing with Carson, and I think you guys know this, I know this because I've done the research, is once Johnny felt that you had wronged him or that there was something unfair or you weren't loyal to him, the relationship was over.
Joan Rivers.
It was over.
Guy,
we can talk about the Rivers. The Rivers thing, though, has way more than what the public knows about.
There's a lot more to it.
Peter LaSalle, she tried to get Johnny's producer, Peter LaSalle, to come with her to Fox. She was try to steal Johnny's producer. And also, after she did her press conference, she started saying all these things about how my ratings were higher than Johnny's and all these things.
She was ungrateful.
Barry Diller told me, he told me that he told Joan, you have to tell Johnny. You have to, because she always said Fox wouldn't let her. And for whatever reason, and it's like, okay, Johnny's cue card guy, he has a company, and he also did the cue cards for Joan Rivers' show. And he went to Johnny, and it was like lost in translation. He said, Johnny, I have this this opportunity to do cue cards for Joan Rivers, her late night show in Fox. And Johnny said, oh, you want to do Joan's show? Go right ahead. And was like really upset. He's like, no, Johnny, you don't understand. It's my company. I'm loyal to you. I'm going to stay here. But my company, other people have an opportunity to do Joan's show. He's like, oh, they have to. Oh, that's great. No, they should do it. And it was all about how they went about it. And sat him down.
Yes.
If I have this opportunity to do something. And he was all about that. But again, if he perceived any disloyalty, you were done. I mean, I've talked to these people before, and it was, you weren't coming back.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
So, Phil, we established that as a kid, you would lie in bed to make sure your parents didn't know. You'd turn down the brightness on the TV. You'd had the little TV in bed.
I could barely see it.
Right. To
under
sneak the
covers,
Carson show.
A 5-inch black and white TV under the covers with me.
Every night.
Some boys had Playboy magazine. I had this.
See, now, I used to do that with the TV for old monster movies.
There you go. Right. You'd sneak a little TV into the bed with you and turn down
I mean, we had the one TV.
Did you like being scared, or they weren't scary? They were just fun.
They were fun.
Yeah.
And it's like there was the one TV we had that was in the living room. And I would turn it on. I was practically pressing my nose against the screen to hear
them too,
it.
Because you don't want them to hear.
And I would watch. Oh, one time I remember I was watching The Invisible Man with Claude Rains.
And you're going, I can't see it.
And at first, my mother came out in the middle of the night, and she was telling me to go to sleep, and I didn't want to. I wanted to watch The Invisible Man. And I remember she made me a plate of crackers and butter and a glass of milk.
Wow, high living at your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. You eventually got caught by your parents sneaking Carson shows.
I did.
Yeah.
They beat me severely.
Why don't you tell us those stories?
One beating was so bad.
Who were the must guests? I mean, did you just watch every night regardless, or was it like Rickles or Steve Martin?
I think there was a gold tier and the king was Rickles, and then Burt Reynolds,
Rodney,
Buddy Hackett. You know, the ones you knew it was going to turn into a party.
You did what I did, which was go through the TV list, and like, who's going to be on?
Absolutely.
That's right.
But Burt Reynolds, you were never disappointed.
I remember
Reynolds. Yeah, that's true.
With Rodney, it was like he was doing a TV special every time
I heard, to correct me if I'm wrong, that he was really annoyed when Bob Hope dropped by.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
right?
What
I heard. I don't think he had a lot of love for Hope.
He was definitely still, it's Bob Hope. But, you know, Carson could have easily said, we're not booking him anymore, but he said, it's Bob Hope, we have to.
It was also the company. It was NBC.
Yeah.
They were there. He was there. I'm taping across the hall.
Yeah, he was
there. And he was there to promote the special that was going to be on the next night.
He's also a stockholder.
The last appearance, though, I mean, he was having trouble hearing Johnny, and it was just hard with the communication. And there's a bunch of reasons why Carson retired, and one of them is because he didn't want to be, he thought Jack Benny and especially Bob Hope stuck around too long. But there's the other reasons. When it went to 11:35, rather, he was furious, and he felt slighted. Those 5 minutes. And then another key thing was Robert Smigel's Saturday Night Live sketches where they showed Johnny as out of touch.
Oh, the car song?
Yeah,
he actually liked that.
Oh, yes.
With Phil Hartman going.
Carson.
Yes,
he liked
it.
Yeah. You know what?
Right?
Dana Carvey?
Yeah, he actually liked the Carsonio one. He liked the Carsonio one, but there was one in particular because of music rights. It's not online, but I remember watching
Who was doing Carson?
Dana Carvey. And SNL and Phil Hartman.
So the moment he saw that he was being made fun of by the younger generation, he was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, Leno was telling Carvey that, yeah, he was walking through the hall once and Johnny's like, if they're going to make fun of me, I'm going to leave. And it was, wow. The sketches, and I like Robert Smigel, and I think he's probably the greatest sketch writer ever.
He's brilliant.
But, you know, it was one of those things where Lorne Michaels would get calls, you know, he basically gave the NBC, his writers free rein, and Rick Ludwin would, you know, try to talk him out of it, but be diplomatic. But Rick Ludwin would have to go down to the basement and tell Johnny, you know, that they might be doing a sketch. They're going to at least do an address with one of your sketches. And he said, you know, I don't find them funny, but go ahead. You know, we make fun of people, but I don't find them funny.
Wow.
But the Carcinio one was fine. But the other one was, Arsenio Hall, Chris Rock is Arsenio Hall saying, there was something. Oh, Johnny's looking at the card and he says, it says here that your ratings are higher than us and you're very well close to taking over our show. And it was that thing right there wasn't true. And that's what infuriated Carson.
Wasn't he sore at SNL from the get-go because the Best of Carson got bumped from Saturday Nights? And he was probably making money on
Carson
those.
Carson didn't want
to give up Saturday. Remember the reruns on Saturdays? Before SNL?
Yeah. Oh, Carson's whole thing was
Best of Carson.
Carson thought that the show, it was too much. So the only reason SNL was there is because of Carson, and Dick Ebersol and Lorne Michaels had to fly. 27-year-old Dick Ebersol, 29 Lorne, they get in Carson's office, and Carson just wanted to make sure that the host wasn't going to be doing a political monologue, that they were going to have the same type of music. And once Carson found out that they were not going to do, like, they were going to have rock and roll and stuff, which is Carson and Fred DeCordova, not their thing, that Johnny gave the blessing. And then once New York Magazine came out with Chevy Chase, and it's not Chevy's fault, where it said that rumor, like, this is going to be our successor. We're talking about him being Johnny's successor. Mm-hmm. Johnny did not like that. He said he watched
it. Nobody wants to be replaced.
Yeah, no, of course I mean, not. The press, you know, he would read the press. He would read Tom Shale's reviews. He would read the books that were not nice to him, and I don't understand why somebody would do that, but yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's definitely not what Joan Rivers or Bushkin. He's definitely a complicated man on different levels, but just from talking to hundreds of people that knew him, and he was in retirement, everyone thought he was J.D. Salinger, but he was out with you having lunch.
Phil had lunch with him.
He was with the writers having lunch. He was with Dave Thomas having lunch. He would go, he was kept in touch with a bunch of staff members from New York. He would get together and email with them. But you had the lunch with him.
He was completely gracious and great, and I couldn't believe that I was getting to meet him. I walk into the office and it's wall-to-wall magazine covers, one magazine, him on the cover, TV Guide, wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling.
His power.
TV Guide.
It's unbelievable.
I asked his assistant, who was his favorite guest? You know the answer?
I do, and I talked to her, and it was actually, I think, Jeff Satzig's assistant. Because she said that never happened. So I don't think it was Johnny's. I said, but no, mention it.
Who was
his
favorite guest?
I couldn't believe it at the time.
Yeah.
Randy Travis.
How bizarre. Mm.
I asked her about that. She said no. It must have been, there were a couple assistants.
There were so many guests that got him excited, like Steve Martin.
Well, of course.
I would have thought like Pete Fountain, Buddy Rich.
He loved that music.
Buddy Rich.
He thought it was great. He loved having, I said, come on. To her, yeah. She said, my hand to God.
Maybe she denies it. I don't know. But yeah, you wouldn't think with Randy Travis. But yeah,
I know he loves Steve Martin.
He did. And they were still keeping up the poker game up until
he buried
Johnny
the hatchet with Chevy. Chevy was in that poker game.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
They were totally fine. I mean, they actually spent time together. They were fine. It was just, as you noticed, nobody in the original cast of SNL went on when they were on SNL. Other than, I think, Chevy, but that he wouldn't have Gilda Radner. He did not like the show. They made fun of him in the 70s, and that's why. And then Dana Carvey got banned from the show because of the Smigel sketches that he participated in that he didn't write. And no one from SNL was allowed, except I think Dennis Miller was allowed one at time after that, but everyone else from SNL was not welcomed.
But you know what? That you can't be the old guy who just doesn't like the noise the kids are making.
Yeah,
but
you know,
it's in every business.
He
it's inevitable.
That stuff
by the way, there's things that certain younger people do in comedy that isn't my thing. Also,
right, of course.
But that's how God made it.
Yeah,
and we're supposed to, be replaced.
He had a thin skin.
Right? Chaplin had the same problem.
And of course,
it always got me when you'd see like Bob Hope and Lucille Ball on a special, and they'd be doing a sketch where they're dressed up as hippies.
Right.
Yeah, they'd be that. Go, oh. Making fun of the kids.
And Beetle wigs.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, they're right? So out of it.
One of your listeners told me to watch the Bob Hope special, the one from 1976. Was it called Joy?
Joys. We're going to send it to Phil.
And I watched it. Yeah, you have to see that.
Oh, you got to watch this.
Scary.
I watched it.
Scary.
It's a whodunit where he basically just got everybody... I mean, Jamie Farr,
anyone who was
Jerry
alive.
Colonna, everybody who was alive, and threw them into this thing, and there's a murder that happens at Bob Hope's mansion, and they have to find the killer.
Canned laughter.
And it starts off with the funniest joke is the title, because at the time, the biggest movie in the country was Jaws.
Uh-huh. It's Joys.
So this is comedians. It's Joys.
J-O-Y-S.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, to give it the little Jaws water motif, the dead body is found in a swimming pool.
Whose show was this?
It's a Bob Hope special.
It is it's so clumsy.
It's god-awful. You must see it.
It's the clumsiest thing.
And you've seen Jack Frost. You've seen the where he's propped up. He's
doing the
Christmas
Frost
special.
I'm telling you, when you get out of here, I'm telling you, when you go look up Bob Hope, Jack Frost, he's singing. He's dressed up as Jack Frost with a little pointed beard, and an elf.
How old is he?
He's got to be 86.
And Dolores is doing the heavy lifting.
No.
She's singing. And
you've seen this?
No.
Oh, you got to see it. It's on YouTube.
Then you have to.
Okay.
And it's like, it looks like Dolores' revenge for all the times that Bob Hope fucked around on her.
Oh, my God.
It's like, because Bob Hope looks like a corpse.
Yes.
You'd swear they dug him out of the ground and nailed him against
three shows left in the deal.
Right, yeah. Three shows left in the deal.
Bob Hope was going to his airport, for people to recognize him.
Oh.
And he just needed it. He needed that the public. He just needed people in retirement.
It's
going to be me.
No,
It's going to happen to everybody.
Won't happen.
She's singing, doing all the singing, and every now and then
he's
there'd
so
be
nice.
A cut. Yeah, and Hope would go, "That's right."
Oh no!
They're jump cutting him around the set because he can't move.
Wow.
So he's magical. So he has to go from spot to spot. But so, they're just doing it optically.
And
they're
just doing it
with jump cuts.
Day to push
I think that's how they edit the voice, by the way.
So you told Johnny you tried to get him interested in doing a big highfalutin roast for charity.
I thought this was a great idea. Johnny's been off the air for 8 years. And what if there was an HBO, maybe even live, roast of Johnny? Think of the comedians who wouldn't do it.
Everybody.
You can't. Yes. Everyone would do it.
Yes.
And you could raise $1 billion for charity. It would be the greatest charitable event in history and probably the highest rated anything in television history. He goes, "I'm not coming back." He goes, "You got to know when to get the fuck off the stage."
Oh,
that's what he said.
He would get offers and he would listen to them. And he almost did his club act. David Steinberg was doing a small act. It was not advertised, and Carson was really considering in 94 doing one. But he just, got cold feet and he's like, "No, I'm done."
Who was at that
lunch?
But
he would come on Letterman once or twice.
Once he didn't speak.
Right?
Yeah. He had a line, but the audience was so, the applause, he didn't get his line out. But no, you're right. He would call in sometimes and do bits.
Call in and also write.
Yeah, David was using his jokes. He was using his monologue jokes.
He loved just writing and sending them in. And once in a while, Dave would do them. And when Johnny passed away, Dave did a monologue. And at the end of the monologue, he goes, "I want you to know that every joke I just told was Johnny's."
That's great. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember when Jack Benny died and Johnny got very emotional.
They said around
74.
He was emotional, and around the office they said it was just a horrible day.
I remember.
Love
Benny.
If I'm wrong, he was the sweetest, greatest guy.
Everybody loved Benny.
That's what I heard, one
celebrity we've never heard anything
bad
about.
Story.
What about George Burns?
Not really.
I've never heard anything bad about it.
A little bit of philandering, I think, but that's the worst of it. Well, how did you guys part company?
I remember hearing a story that when Gracie died, Burns was at the funeral and the reading of the will and everything. And Burns went to Hillcrest afterwards, and Georgie Jessel's there, and he says, you know, Gracie didn't leave me anything in the will. And Jessel says, well, that's because you fucked everybody in town and Gracie knew it.
Oh. Wow.
That's the only thing we heard about.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But he wasn't in Hope's class.
I did not know that.
He wasn't in Hope's class.
Alleged. I've never heard that. I don't think it's true.
So you brought Ray to the lunch? Ray was at the lunch? And when you guys said goodbye to Johnny,
yeah.
Obviously you're sky high in some way. You're meeting a hero.
He grabbed my dick.
Did he? Well, I noticed Shecky was very kind to you, too, on the show. He was not so kind to us when we had Shecky.
I was doing a thing at the Friars Club, and I remember because Joy Behar was there. She was just in the audience, and I went on, and I did very well, and was getting laughs. And then after me was supposed to be Shecky Green. And instead, Joy Behar they introduce. And I thought, that's weird. How come they bumped him? And it turns out that I didn't see all this. They were telling me that he flew into a rage at my act, saying, I was in the Navy. I never heard language like that.
Awesome.
And they
that's
said,
again the old person resenting, not appreciating or liking the young.
Must
yeah.
be.
This
must
made
be.
Huge news. I read about it in the newspaper.
Yes.
I mean, it was a huge
He took a swing
deal.
At Freddie Roman.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
I remember
on his way out the door
reading about it.
It was great because it was it was like that Broadway Danny Rose type thing, because I remember Freddie Roman was there all upset. And
By the way, at the Friars Club, they never heard this language?
What the hell?
Mickey Freeman?
No.
Yeah, I'm Dick surprised. Capri. I thought that.
No.
Stewie Stone.
Stewie Stone.
By the way, it's the dirtiest place on earth.
Yeah. Right.
They never heard
Absolutely.
This language?
Stewie Stone said to me, that Shecky, he's a fucking idiot.
But he was very nice. Mark charmed him.
He gave me dinner. I sat down with him and his wife. I and they're like, "Do you want to sit down?" And they fed me. And we were in his living room, and he was all out performing. I mean, he was really nice to me, but he told me he hates your guts.
Yeah.
Oh, he did not.
No.
The
Buddy Hackett stories.
He doesn't
stories,
hate you.
People should go to listen to your episode with Shecky Green just to hear Buddy Hackett jumping on his back and pulling a gun on him.
Shecky Green was incredible.
Freddie said that Buddy pulled a gun on him in the elevator.
There you go.
Who did?
I heard you doing one of my jokes, and he pulled out a gun. Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Packing heat, Buddy.
Shecky's okay with you. He really is.
Well, you know, Shecky, I think what I thought and what most people confirmed is, I think, what he really was going through. He has, like, a crippling stage fright.
Yeah.
You talked about that.
So he used you as an excuse to get the hell out of there?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I think he got scared.
We got a wrap.
Wait, he's got a plug.
Oh, yeah. I want to mention on SiriusXM, they're going to be doing a Johnny Carson channel starting October 1st for
Wonderful.
The month of October. And they're going to be using some of my audio clips from the Carson podcast, and then on some of the comedy channels throughout October, I'm going to be hosting a special, Johnny, with some clips.
Wonderful. We'll plug it on Facebook, too. And the new podcast is great, Persistence 360. I've been listening to it. We talked about it outside. Sum it up. What's the elevator pitch?
Oh, yeah. I just talked to people that went through brick walls like Phil Rosenthal. It was just one roadblock after another, and they kept going. And
all to get on this podcast.
No shit!
Yeah, so I talked to a bunch of, we were talking about, Don Roy King, who directs Saturday Night Live, who just won an Emmy again. We have Michael Emerson, we have a bunch of...
Very inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roy King found his dream job in his 50s.
Yeah, so we talked to a lot of people in different fields of entertainment. We definitely get the entertainment in, but yeah, persistence.
I'm very impressed by your passion, my friend.
Oh, thanks.
And the way that you... You reach
Very
out
few
and,
people as great as Mark.
He's just great. He loves what he does, and it comes out very nice.
He's a sweet, nice boy.
He is.
We should all be nice boys like Mark Malkoff.
Well, I can't, get going. Come on.
I can't top that.
Gilbert. Gilbert is just looking.
Instead of filthy animals,
he's just
like
laughing. Gilbert's
Gilbert's
right. Laughing at me.
Feral dogs. You want to sign off, Gilbert?
I'm Gilbert Gottfried. This is Bit, and I'm here with
a Jew. Yes.
Yes. I never liked those people.
We're here with anti-Semitic Jackie Gleason.
If I owned a hotel, I wouldn't let them stay there.
Knew that smells like a Jew.
Who's been here?
Okay.
I can't even
talk.
Okay,
this has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions.
Yes.
And we've had Phil Rosenthal.
Wow, I've heard of him.
And watch me get the name wrong again. Mark Malkoff?
Lovely.
Yo!
Gilbert, you did it.
Oh, my God.
I have to say, you won't remember me tomorrow on the street when
no.
I see it.
No.
Who was here? Mark Milkshake?
Yeah.
Or Phil or me.
Thank you, boys.
Now, as you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world, and we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years. She's been appearing with
us. About 9 years. About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several will be about 9.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I said I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said
it's
9.
Yes. 9, good, thank you.
Yeah. Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she
I'm
also...
I'm just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe just to kind of catch up on a little nappy poo? Just might snap you right out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. It's okay.
But you're upsetting me.
No,
you're upsetting
no.
me.
No, I don't upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know
wrote
you
it.
Did. That's all right.
Fine. Don't say. You know,
what?
That I don't. I know her. I went down and.
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Yeah. Good. All right. And let's get her out here quickly. Wish you a welcome, Joan.
Sessions.